Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania is our focus this morning. Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in this morning. Chris, been way too long since you've been here. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It is it is a new year. The 2018 in Spotsylvania County. We'll get into all of that with budgets and things coming up. I want to jump off a thing with you though that. Just about every time in the last year or so that you've been in, and you talk about a lot at board meetings, is a strategic plan. The schools have one. Most localities in the area talk about and follow a strategic plan as close as you can. But you've been dismayed that Spotsylvania doesn't have one.
No, we don't. We unfortunately, it's been a couple years. We can't seem to find the time to come together and map out what the next several years are going to look like. You know, we do this every year where we jump from item to item in the budget. And one year, the focus is bus drivers, let's say, and then the next year it's firefighters, and the next year it's teachers. And so we seem to focus on those areas and fund those fully or as much as we possibly can, and then leave everybody else to the side, and then the next year it comes up. So we have this system that is, it's very sad because it continually is perpetuating where we don't move the county forward like we should. And so if you had a strategic plan, you would at least understand that with the growth that we have and the growth that is coming, especially, we will understand better how we need to fund the different departments and mm-hmm. the different services that are sorely needed in the county. In the Massaponics area, when you have, you know, the traffic that is going on there and you need fire and rescue service to get somewhere, you know, you need to have that in mind when you place your next fire station so that you understand strategically where your services are going and how your community is going to be affected by those decisions.
And you see over and over that becomes a problem. The county doesn't have one. And like you say, a lot of times you're reacting.
Right. Absolutely. And what we need to stop doing is reacting to the issues and try to get ahead of it. You know, one of the areas that the county took on about a decade or so ago was transportation and funding roads locally, which roads are state responsibility. Even your neighborhood roads, unless they're private roads, they are maintained and the snow is cleared by VDOT. And so when it comes to even transportation, we need to get ahead of that, you know, and that's one of the things that we're working on with a road connection. And I think I've talked about this as much as a strategic plan, is a road connection of Spotsylvania Avenue to Germana Boulevard. They'll give you a parallel road to Route 1 and also allow people to get around having to go down to Massaponics to get back up 17 to head where they're going. So, you know, one of the things with transportation that we sort of overlook is having multiple ways of going. Simply having big, huge, beautiful highways does nothing for you if you're stuck because there's an accident and all lanes are closed. So if you have multiple multiple avenues to go, the
yeah.
better.
So with that connection, would that come out where, would that be kind of in the neighborhood of where, like where Goodwill is right now? Is that over
yes.
in that area? Is that
right.
Okay.
Yeah, you would take that road and connect it then up to Germana. And it's been talked about for years, but the hesitation has always been the cost
yeah.
because it's all wetlands. And so you basically need a bridge for the entire span. And so that's where the cost comes in. But it's one of those things where I think it's a good investment in our transportation network because it's going to help alleviate traffic.
The whole idea of having a strategic plan, and you've talked about this, and you've had some board members who say, yeah, it's important, we'll do something, and it never goes anywhere. Any hopes that it might this year?
Oh, I hope every year it goes somewhere, but unfortunately, it does seem to be one of those things that is nice to say, but it's difficult to actually get people together to do it. And it's I'm a little dismayed that we have a lot of these other issues that pop up. We have one coming up, and I don't even want to discuss it because it's just so ridiculous with fluoride in the water. But that's one of the issues that's coming up that we're going to actually deal with. We have time to deal with that and waste our time on that, but we don't have time to deal with the strategic plan for the county to map out what our next several years are going to look like. And if you don't do that, if you don't know where you're going, you don't know how to get there. And I really get frustrated with that, because we really do seem to hop year to year. And this year is a budget year, and it's an assessment year. And the same thing is going to happen this year. And going back to transportation for 1 second, the budget last year did not include one new transportation initiative in the county. And yet transportation is something that everybody always talks about, but nobody ever wants to do. So either you do it or you don't. And unfortunately, we haven't been doing a lot of the things that we need to do.
Well, and I guess it's more than just saying, well, we have a general outline of what we're doing. If you don't have a plan, then if you say something at a meeting that I agree with, and that's what we want to do. And then, you know, you go from, that's how you govern the county.
Right. It's kind of the flavor of the minute, you know, what jumps up and what, you know, if you have enough people that show up to a board meeting and they want to do a certain initiative, it seems like that takes the priority or the preference over things that are fundamental to what we should be doing. And if you have a strategic plan, and I know the Fire and Rescue Department is actually they're working on one, and it's a very good plan, because it is not set in stone. It doesn't mean that you can't change it. It doesn't mean that you can't deviate from it. But what it does mean is that you have an idea of what the future is going to hold, based upon growth rates, based upon funding, based upon things that we already know have happened, and we can see trends. When you have more building permits coming in, that means growth is going to increase. Growth increases, your student population increases, as we saw with the schools this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they were projected to lose students, and yet they had more students come in. So, you know, those types of things where you can actually have a better idea of what is going to happen. Nobody can see the future, obviously, but we can do a better job of planning for it.
It's not like you've got the comprehensive plan that deals with land use. This deals just with all aspects of running the county.
Right. And you know, I don't want to say that it's not difficult to do, because doing a plan like that will be difficult. But the fact that we already have a comprehensive plan, a thoroughfare plan, which deals with transportation, a water and sewer plan, an economic development plan, now we'll have a fire and rescue plan, we have a school plan, we have good components that are already there. We can put those all together and then sort of map out what we're going to do when everything comes together, as opposed to doing it piecemeal.
Supervisor Chris Jakubowski from Spotsylvania here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski with us this morning. You were, congratulations, by the way. It's a little bit late, but you were reelected convincingly in the fall and back on the board for another 4 years.
Yeah, thank you. That was... It's always interesting every 4 years, the process that we have. I am always amazed at how you go out and you talk to people, and then you have a spirited, you know, debate in a race. And then you have thousands of people that come out and they pull that lever for you. It's always a humbling experience. And it's always a good experience, I think, for elected officials to get out there and campaign. I enjoy campaigning. I like talking to people. I get some of my best ideas talking to people and finding ways that we can fix different problems. But especially on election day, when it's cold and it's raining, and which it was awful this
past
year.
Yeah, it was this year, yeah.
But to have thousands of people come out and vote for me was very humbling. And, you know, I look forward to 4 more years of serving the county.
How many years now is this for you? You've been elected, what, three times to
this
the board?
This will be three times, yes.
Okay.
Well, it is three times. It'll be 12 years total.
Boy, you've seen changes. I mean, Spotsylvania continues to change and continues to grow.
Well, it does. I think I bring a good perspective, too, because my first term was in the 2000s when, you know, our budget was growing at 5, 6, 7, 8, 10% every year. State funding was really not an issue. We had a lot of initiatives were going on. We were building schools, we were building firehouses, you know, all this type of stuff was happening. And then 2007 was the last year I was on the board, and that's when the recession hit. And so then I came back in 2014, and it was completely different, completely changed. And, you know, instead of focusing on the large, you know, million-dollar projects, we were discussing the $25,000 and $50,000 issues.
Yeah.
Because that's how tight the budgets were. Not that $25,000 or $50,000 is insignificant, but in the scheme of things before, it was small, so much smaller than the bigger issues that we were dealing with. And so, you know, one of the other things I noticed too is we have a lot of talk of cutting budgets, and you always hear about especially school budget, and they say, you know, this is a needs-based budget. And I've heard that every single year. There's never been a year that I've never heard that. And one thing that is true now is that the schools where they might have had fluff in their budget in the 2000s when there was a lot of extras that were in there, the recession really shook it out and really dug it down to a truly you know, bare bones budget.
Yeah.
Of to this point where if you need to cut in that budget, you're starting to cut people. And if you want to cut people, you know, that's a discussion to have, but there's no extras, there's no frills left to it. And so I think that perspective has helped, especially in this past term, to get a better understanding of how our budgets are now crafted versus before.
With the economy seemingly picking up in a lot of areas, you hear at board meetings that you hear a lot of concern in Spotsylvania about some of these subdivisions that have been approved in recent years, and some of which you voted against,
right,
of actually coming to be. And I think to a lot of people, it hit home last fall when work began at what's going to be the subdivision over near Cortland High School, that big area. And all of a sudden, people are like, whoa, what happened here? And I guess we are going to start seeing some of these go online.
Well, we are. A lot of this was done and was sold as 20-year projects. You know, don't worry. You know, it's out there in the future sometime. Well, you know, a lot of them were done 5 years ago, so now we're down to 15 years. And with the economy picking up, and I don't blame the developers and the builders, that's how you make money, is you sell the product when the market is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have a market that is like that, because it means that your area is desirable. It's better than going in the other way because your housing prices fall and everything that's associated with that. But having the growth that's coming, I think that people don't understand, especially if they haven't been here for a long time, they don't understand the burst that we get here. And you get the housing, you get the people, and then the services lag behind. And it seems like we're always playing catch up.
Well, and you mentioned, I guess I didn't realize just about in last year's budget, nothing new as far as road planning, and that's where you start seeing it.
Right, absolutely. And part of that was that we did have the J-ramp that was supposed to go through, and the feds basically nixed that, so we had to go with a different option. But that was done through the state. But as far as county-initiated transportation projects, there were none. Now, we do have stuff that is coming to fruition. Thornton Rolling Road and 17, I was just by there the other day, and that's going to be a fully operational light with turn lanes and everything that's needed there. So that's coming online shortly. You know, there are projects that are coming, but you constantly have to put them in the hopper so that they're moving along, because they do take a long time to go through all of the planning and engineering stages and phases. And all that stuff happens before, you know, one piece of ground is moved.
Well, and you sit on just this past weekend, there was something on Saturday on Route 3. And Route 3 remains a mess. And even though the timing of the lights lasted about a week before that worked,
right,
it remains a problem. And you there are times you wish that there was some more planning had been done, just because Route 3 on the most times is a real problem.
Right. That's why I avoid Route 3 at all costs.
Yeah.
It's always a mess. And the problem that you have, too, with Route 3 is you have a contained road with no alternate means of getting around it. So if you had other connections, if you had other ways of going, that alleviates a lot of that traffic. Just widening a road so that more people can sit at a stoplight together, in my opinion, doesn't do anything. It increases capacity, but it doesn't increase the flow. And that's one of the things that road at Germanna, I think, would do. That's why there had been on the books for years a parallel road to 95 from Route 3 all the way down to Route 1.
Right. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
And South Point Parkway was the first step of it. The Mall Road was supposed to be the next step. And then Rolling Wood would be the hardest one to do, but that would be another connection road to get people moving. And, you know, we see this in Northern Virginia all the time where they drag their feet, they don't do anything, and then eventually you have $100 million project. And the reason is because you have to take so many people's property because you didn't do a better job of planning where you want your infrastructure.
Yeah. Whitney, you look at something like the Blue Gray Parkway.
Right.
And where this area would have been without that today, everything would be funneled through the city.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It you know, that and people that haven't been around long enough don't understand and don't get the perspective of projects like that. They just take it for granted. And they don't realize, I can even think back to when I was a teenager here, and people complaining when they were straightening Salem Church and Level so it actually would connect. Because you used to have to go mm-hmm. down and make a left, cut through.
Yeah.
And I remember people complaining at that time of what a mess it was while they were fixing it. And, you know, now you look back and nobody complains about it. It's a great road. It works. But at the time, you know, there was opposition to, you know, doing certain things. And so we need to get past that. We need to also be able to do the things that are necessary for the county. And, you know, I take plenty of arrows and plenty of shots from other people. But I think in the end, you got to do what's right. And, you know, the county's going to be better off for it.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning as we talk about Spotsylvania issues. Lidl's opened a couple of stores in the area, Culpeper and Stafford. I drive by the one in Spotsylvania. The fence has come down now. Is that going to open this year at all? Is that the plan?
It's supposed to. And I was just up at the Stafford Lidl because we worked on this big deal with them. We have their big distribution center, but I had yet to actually be in one of their stores. And it's a very nice store, and I'm looking forward to the one on Route 3 coming in. And I asked one of the people up there when it was opening, and I don't want to give any hopes, but they said soon.
Okay.
So,
yeah, because Spotsylvania struck the first deal, and mm-hmm. you see all these stores opening up, and everyone who goes just raves about what's there and the prices, and that store, you keep seeing that store there, and you just think, when's it going to open?
Right, and that's why I don't want to give a date because I've heard dates all last
yeah.
year,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
this time. And so soon is what it's going to be.
Well, and that really was an economic development get for the county to get that the distribution center was a real find for Spotsylvania.
Oh, it was. I mean, you got to think that we're able to locate a distribution center for the Mid-Atlantic from the number one grocer in Europe that is making its debut in America, and they land here in Spotsylvania, you know, and even with that, you know, I heard people complain, well, why didn't we get their headquarters? Well, you know, Spotsylvania is 50 miles away from D.C., 50 miles from Richmond. You know, we do get certain businesses that move in here. We had a lot that expanded. The GM plant was sold last year and IDX has opened, and mm-hmm. that's a beautiful facility. And they're actually expanded in addition to what they were initially doing. So they're adding even more jobs and investing even more money into the plant. And so, you know, we also need a nice mix is the other thing when it comes to economic development. You not everybody can be, you know, a Defense Department analyst. You need to have people that are blue collar, white collar people that, you know, do their laborers. And if you simply focus on one type of business, you miss out on the others. And I think that if we have a nice mix here, you then provide opportunities for everybody.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski here. More coming up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 829.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski is here this morning. I was trying to think, because I didn't write it. Your district is... What's the
Battlefield?
Battlefield.
Okay. Yes.
I couldn't remember what district you... I was thinking of all the districts, and then that was the one that... And that's right. Describe where you are over in the county. You're over by...
Well, basically, it sort of slinks around, but basically the Lafayette Corridor,
yeah.
Route 1, 4 Mile Fork, down 208, not the north side, but the south side, down to Fox Point and Lee's Park, and it takes in Breezewood also. So it's very urban. I think it's the most urban district next to Salem. Me and Salem probably are about the same. But... yeah, it's also the most populated, and so we have redistricting coming up in a couple of years too. So the lines are definitely going to change again,
just because of the growth and everything that's
right.
that's gone on in that corridor.
Right, and even more coming with the stuff in Massaponics.
Yeah.
So Lee Hill District is going to increase. You know the southern districts. You know, we think of them as maybe down in Partlow and Belmont, which they do include. But Livingston District comes all the way up to Smith Station Road, and then Berkeley District comes all the way up to 17. So the hospital, so actually Lidl, that's across the street from Lee's Park, is actually in the Berkeley District, and that goes all the way down to Lake Anna and Caroline.
Budget time coming. It's always in any locality. Budgets are interesting, but it is in recent years, especially Spotsylvania.
Right. Well, I think that this year it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because last year off budget, we implemented the Evergreen study, which was an outside agency or consulting firm, I should say, not agency, that came in and took a look at the pay scales that we have and compared those to other localities and the private sector. And this report is on our website too. It's Evergreen, and is the name of the study. And what they found was, in the county, we were off by about roughly $3 million or so. And that was not to say every single employee was under, but some were over. So the average and the amount to take that up to the average was about $3 million. And so what the board did last year was say, we will implement that fix over the next 3 years. Well, the schools at the same time had the Evergreen firm looking at their pay scales.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't going to be complete until after we were done on the county side. And what they found was, obviously, it's going to be more. It's roughly $7 million or so. And so I think that what we need to do is implement the school study as we implemented the county study, that it's the mid-grade. We're not doing the high grade. They had a middle and a high fix. And we took the middle fix and we implemented on 3 years. And I think that we need to do the same thing for the school system. And, you know, that way over the past, talking about what we had with the recession and how budgets had decreased, during that time, too, a lot of the increases in pay and steps were frozen, and you many years didn't get a pay increase, mm-hmm. like most of us didn't. But to play catch up and try to get those people back on their pay scales and how they need to be is going to take a bit of money to do. And, you know, you might run across the people who say, well, you know, tough, they knew what they were getting into. You know, when you're a teacher, you're hired, you know how much money you're going to get. The problem that you have with that is that you have other localities that seem to want to pay their teachers more than we do. And, you know, we're never going to be able to compete with a Fairfax or a Loudoun or Prince William even. But we need to do a better job of keeping those seasoned employees that we have, because we don't want to be looked at as nothing but a training ground. Yeah. Where you come in, you get your experience, and then you go somewhere else, because it costs. It costs money to do the training. It costs to the organization to have those people leave, because then you have to fill the gaps. Then you have that structure, whether it be a school or a firehouse, of people leaving out of there, and then you have new people coming in. So it just, you try to do what you can to keep the good ones, get rid of the bad ones, and which I think should be a top priority, is you get rid of employees that are not performing. But those that are performing, you want to show that, you know, it's not just a monetary thing. It's also showing them that the environment is very, very positive for them to be here and for them to stay here and continue, you know, working here.
Same, you talk about that with schools. The same thing with the sheriff's office and right. in fire and rescue, right. Struggling to try to and I know it's law enforcement in this area. All localities are having trouble being able to keep law enforcement and not having them move on.
Right. Well, and we really do need to get past that point where we're just a training ground, because when we bring in recruits through the public safety, let's say, you know, it takes a good 6, 8, 10 months to get them ready and prepped and put them through all the classes and training to get them on the street. And then, you know, they stay here a couple years, then they move on. So all of that investment that we have done has now benefited somebody else. So we need to do a better job of finding out why people are leaving. And if it's pure money, how much can we afford to mm-hmm. increase our pay scales? But the other thing, too, is that as we were talking about the budget earlier, when you focus on one area and let the other ones lag behind, that's when you start running into these problems of, you know, let's just say firefighters haven't had a pay increase or you know, haven't been looked at in the budget in a while. You know, they see that. They understand that. They notice that, you know, they're not the top priority, and we need to get away from sort of pitting these groups against each other and realize that even the schools in the county, and I even did it in here, we're not two separate organizations. We're all county employees, or they're all county employees, and they all work together and they all do a good job. Yep. And so the segregation that we do of, you know, your stuff and our stuff is wrong. It's taxpayers' stuff, and they're paying the bill, and they deserve a better system than when we fragment it and we really don't focus on the needs that we have. And you know, public safety and education, those are the two top priorities that any locality has, and we need to do a better job of funding them.
Well, and boy, and you see, unfortunately, that when the budget so much, and the schools are so much of the budget,
right.
But it just does become such a battleground every year, and it doesn't have to be.
Well, it doesn't, and you know, I'll tell you, the one thing that the schools have done a good job of the past few years is they have, before they submit to the Board of Supervisors their budget, they actually go through and cut down what they're going to request, because they realize that budgets are tight and we don't have an infinite amount of money. And so instead of coming to us with, let's say, a $10 million request, they come with a five. Well, you know, a couple of years we've actually funded those pretty close, but the past 2 years especially, we have not done a good job of funding. We've, you know, really left a gap out there, and that is a gap of what we're presented, not the actual gap. And so I think that if the schools were to come to us and show us exactly, you know, they shouldn't cut ahead of time. They should just throw it all on us and say, look, this is what we're really dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a better idea of what they're up against. And, you know, the argument in the past has been, well, school population is decreasing. And so you don't need an increase. Okay, fine. You didn't give an increase back then because population was decreasing. Well, population is increasing. So you better give an increase just to even be, you know, intellectually honest with yourself. So we'll see what happens. But the budget will be presented in February, And then we got about 2.5 months to really dig into it and present one. And this year is an assessment year too. So we'll have to take a look at what the tax rate will be.
Anything with fire and rescue that you want to see done this year?
Well, I think that we need more fire and rescue. We have a combined system of career folks and volunteer folks, and we need to do what we can on the county side to enhance so that we're not straining our volunteers, that we are doing what we need and we enhance the system that we have. Our volunteers spend an awful lot of time. I mean, just imagine now with it being so cold, and you have folks that are giving their time and effort to get up in the middle of the night and head out on calls, you know, while we stay in nice warm beds. And they're doing that out of the goodness of their heart for the community. And so that needs to be recognized and applauded and supported. And I think one way we can do that is by increasing the career side so that we have the coverage that is necessary to make sure that our community is safe.
You mentioned last week at the first board meeting, I hadn't heard about this, about a social services building.
Right. The social services department last year came in, and they're mainly state funded for the most part. You know, that's one of the things with our budget that people look and say it's $500 million. And the issue with that is we have about $200 million that the county actually controls. All the rest of it is passed through and designated. And so the social services part of it, they have a heavy caseload, and it's the stuff that they deal with is very intense. And we asked, well, do they need more personnel? And the director showed us pictures and said, and if you go over there and take a look, they literally have no room in their building left to put people, even if we gave them the personnel. And so one of the things that we need to do is start looking for a social services building. There was a presentation done about a year and a half ago of the courthouse area and different buildings where they would go, how it's going to look, how it's going to function together. And one of them was a social services building. And we have carryover money from last year to this year. And I think that would be a good way to spend some of it, is to get that building ready to go.
Boy, because when you talk about all these different agencies, and social services deals with so many people, and that just that need continues to grow.
Well, it does, and there's a lot of turnover in that department, you know, for obvious reasons. And if you don't get ahead of the issue, we're going to have to build a building at some point. So do we start planning for it now and do a little bit of planning ahead of time, or you know, do we do it when it's crunch time and we're out of options? And that's usually when you pay through the nose and you really don't get what you want. You get what you need because, you know, you're up against the wall. And a little bit of planning will keep us from getting to that point.
And again, a lot of this comes back to a strategic plan.
Right, right. If we had one, you know, we would know that in 3 years, these are the type of things we're looking at. Doesn't mean you have to do it. Just means these are the type of things that we're looking at, and keep in mind, you know, these grants run out, or when this population comes in, for example, we need Fire Station 12 because Fire Station 11 opened at the VRE station a couple years ago, and Fire Station 12 is already needed. And well, where is that going to be located? And how are we going to staff that? And how are we going to fund that? So if we know that these things are coming up, we can do a better job of planning for them.
Because you hear that the people will come at times in front of the board and talk about some of these things, and there is the concern with some that a lot of the stuff that gets pushed back 10 years from now, it's all gonna come due, and how does it get paid for?
Right, and one of the other ones too is libraries. Those are things that we talk about, and we're going to be opening a auxiliary library in the Spotsy Town Center. And so that will be good. And then we're looking at putting one in Massaponics.
Yeah, you've talked a lot about that.
But again, there's a cost that's associated with that. Just those two locations, just for the operating per year, is, you know, roughly anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000. And you know, all of these things are nice to talk about. There's a cost associated with it. And also Parks and Rec is another one. You know, we do need more facilities. Our county, you know, L'Oreal Park is a fantastic location, but when the last park that was open was Patriot Park, and that was over a decade ago.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I had put on a bond referendum back then. And, you know, that passed and we got it done, but that's filled up. So, you know, you need to constantly keep up. And there's certain things that when you don't have the money, you just literally can't do. But there's other things that you need to do because you know in the future it's going to have to happen. So is it better to do it in small steps and in small increments, or, you know, have your back up against a wall and have to pay the bill at that time?
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here. We'll wrap this up. We'll talk about economic development when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski here this morning. One of the big issues, Chris, for you that we've talked about for years and you've really had been involved actively is economic development in the EDA, and just because I guess I mean you've seen what a vibrant economic what that does to how that helps the county,
right? And one of the things that we need to not only focus on with big businesses, which we do I think a pretty decent job, but they come along, they're few and far between, and one of the things that we need, and we've done a pretty good job of, and we need to continue, is making sure that the startup businesses, when you open a shop and you have, you know, a handful of people, to make that process easy, which we have done with through our website, where you can start a business, and it's a very simple process of, you know, you click on this box and it opens other areas where you need to go, so it doesn't send you in the direction. Or it does send you in the direction you need to go. And so then once you have that process, once it's easy to get your business up and running, one of the last things that you want to deal with is government rules and regulations. And so if we continually burden our businesses with ridiculous regulations and ridiculous rules, you know, they're going to look elsewhere to locate. They don't want to be in a place where just to get to the point that they are, it was such a headache. So if you can make that process easy, if you can work with them as they grow, then when they're looking to expand, they're going to want to stay here. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've done a pretty good job of that. But there's always room for improvement, and there's always things that we can do to make it better. And one of the things that we also need to do when it comes to jobs and getting tax revenue in here also is a better job of tourism. There was that article that was in the paper, and it said that the Fredericksburg area will be about $1 billion area for tourism. And currently we're at about half a billion. So what are we doing to prepare ourselves to get a piece of that? One of the things that we've actually landed over the past, well, we had it last year and we'll have it again this year, is the soccer tournaments down at New Post. Mm-hmm. They used to be held, you know, in Maryland and north of there, and they came down here, and it's a two-year tournament, and it's fantastic. You get lots of folks that come here. They, they spend their money here. They stay for the weekend. And then what they do is they realize what a nice place it is, and then they want to come back. And we have Lake Anna. We have our battlefields. We have lots of amenities that people will like to come on vacation just to get away and to relax. And you know, we're a good 5 hours outside of New York, New Jersey area, so it's not too far for people to travel. But if you open up and you have that exposure through your tourism department, you will then get a lot of influx of, you know, maybe new residents or maybe new business or, you know, just maybe tourists that want to come back multiple times.
You had it was disbanded, but a tourism commission that with economic development that looked at a lot of these things, and you see the value of something like that.
You do, and especially because that was a volunteer organization. Every board member had one appointee, and what we did was we came together to discuss different initiatives. We have a sister city with a city in Italy, and that came out of there. We have different initiatives of how we can enhance the things that we do. One of the things that I would still love to see at some point is at the 4th of July is to have a 4th of July parade, which I think would yeah. add to the Stars and Stripes spectacular that we do, which is a great event, but we can make it even better and bigger. So I think that when you have an organization, a small committee, a working group like that that comes together and really just hashes out ideas, I think it's beneficial. And you're right, unfortunately, it was disbanded. There was a comment that there were too many acronyms and somebody didn't know what the different committees were.
I remember that.
And, you know, we actually did set aside some money for some economic development and tourism, and that was rated to pay for the library ongoing cost. So, you know, when it's not a priority, it gets pushed to the side. And unfortunately, you know, you have lots of needs. You have lots of things that you need to pay for. But there's very little initiative on how we can pay for those things short of raising taxes on our citizens. And if you can bring in those dollars from out of town and those people are paying the bill, all the better, because then we can keep the tax rate at a reasonable level and it doesn't skyrocket out of control to pay for the basic services that we need.
Would you like to see that commission come back? I'm guessing you would.
I would love to. Unfortunately, as most things, well, as everything on the board, it takes four votes, and it seems too often I'm in the minority. But hopefully some people's eyes will be open and they'll understand that things like that need to be done, and we do need to be a little bit more proactive when it comes to economic development and tourism.
And maybe there'll be a strategic plan this year.
Well, we can hope.
We can hope. We can hope and continue to talk about it. Chris Jakubowski, many more things to talk about. We'll get you back and we'll do this again. And thank you for coming in. Thank you for what you do for the county.
Thank you.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski from the Battlefield District. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.